You're in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression, and are being who you are in Jesus Christ. Tomorrow night is the 31st, and the goblins are out. So don't get stressed out when you're driving tomorrow. Tomorrow night, don't do much driving. Natalie, how you doing? Good to see you. Let's begin with a word of prayer so that the Spirit can open our eyes to what's going on when you're in the midst of experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression. It's difficult to concentrate. It's difficult to think, and I know that. But hope that those who get these tapes, as well as those that are here, and now the Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to things that God has provided so that we don't have to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. So let's go to the throne of grace in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come overwhelmed when we put the two nights of study together. 24 hours ago, Heavenly Father, we were right in the midst of your greatness and the grandeur of your Son. The total understanding of Jesus Christ is as the faithful witness, even the faithful witness of the things in Revelation which he himself was given by the Father, and then he gave through an angel to man, to us. He is the firstborn of the dead. He is, Heavenly Father, the ruler. When we start looking, Heavenly Father, at the things we're seeing in Revelation, how you have all things under control and all things are in your power and in your permissive will and things that you're doing, Heavenly Father, yet we come back to our own little daily lives and there are things that just seem to cause us to be stressed and anxiety and it keeps going to the point of depression. We know, Heavenly Father, who you are, and we know you have all things, but sometimes the battle and the war inside of us is so powerful. How grateful we are, Father, for the simplicity of your message, the truth of the gospel, even to us as believers, in dealing with something that is so personal as our own depression, anxiety, and stress. What an awesome God you are, Father, that you comfort us with eternal information and the end of time, and you comfort us with what's going to happen after death, but you also comfort us in regard to life. Even when we're the very fault of things, we make wrong decisions, and yet you're not the kind of God that stands back and says, "Now I'm going to get you. Now I'm really going to stress you out because you did this." Not what kind of God you are. In fact, you provide what we do not need to be stressed out, even about our own sins and failures and things that have happened out of our control. Father, we praise you. I pray now, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear. Things of truth that we can apply, Heavenly Father, in our daily lives. To this end, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Got a place that I want to go tonight at the ending point. Sometimes I do, and most of the time I don't. But tonight I do, to make this a nice package of study. Don't hold me to this, but we might be nearing the end of the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, and get ready to open up and study another book on Wednesday night. We'll just have to see how the Spirit leads in this, but I sense that we're closing in on the end of this for this segment of the study on stress, anxiety, and depression. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we are. Very powerful, very important passage for it deals with so much as why we experience stress, anxiety, and depression, why it seems involuntary, and yet at the same time, what we can do about it. So I think tonight we're going to put together a lot of things in just the one message that I hope will make sense in its flow, especially if you're hurting when you listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh," and we've dealt with this now, at this point, you understand that the prepositions are the issue here. We walk. We live day in and day out in the flesh. We do not war. And here all of a sudden we're cast into a war. We do not war according to the flesh, the things of the flesh, the thinking of the flesh, the power of the flesh, this type of thing. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare..." Now, the weapons of our warfare, what is our warfare? It's what's going on inside of us. It's our part of this war. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. We walk in the flesh, we do not walk according to the flesh, and our warfare is not of the flesh. Of our very being, our mentality, our energy, our wisdom, our strength. But divinely powerful. This is the power that God has given to us, reference God the Holy Spirit, which we have well studied, for the destruction of fortresses. What is our part in this battle? It's inside of us. We are not going to fight the enemy. We're not going to fight the forces of darkness. There we stand still. Our area of the battle is inside of us. And we have these strong forces that are inside of us that are built up over a period of time. Now, we have a description of the forces. We are destroying, and we have spent time on the destroying now. This is God the Holy Spirit doing this. Speculations. And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we'll leave it at that right now and take on to where we are. Now, we have spent two nights, two tapes on speculations. So I hope that you well understand them. They're very important in understanding these fortresses that are in your soul, in our soul. We have seen that they are part of Satan's lie. I'm amazed. I was with some pastors this last week at just how Satan's lie permeates so many views that men have, that pastors have, and that Christians have. It's such a powerful lie that Satan has to keep you from being who you are in Christ, from believing who you are in Christ, from knowing who you are in Christ. This is so powerful in keeping us from being who we are in Christ. Remember now to summarize it. The speculation is a Greek word. Consideration of all that's happened in my life, reflection on all that's happened in my life, preceding and determining conduct. And that conduct in our study is stress, anxiety, and depression. It seems to be involuntary, but it's not. We choose to be those things that come from within, and they come out of these fortresses inside of us. So this fortress of speculation, the way you think, people, it must be destroyed. This thinking is according to Satan's lie, and it must be destroyed. These false arguments, they're hostile to the truth of the gospel. They're hostile. These arguments are barriers to living by faith. They actually prevent you as a believer living by faith, trusting the Spirit in the things that happen in your life. These fortresses are barriers to that. And here's another reason why it is so difficult to stay in the filling of the Spirit by faith, or what we have studied at FM, faith mindset. Why is that so difficult? I want to stay there, but it's just so difficult to do so. These strongholds and false arguments actually keep you from constantly living who you are in Christ, constantly trusting the Holy Spirit. You desire to live who you are in Christ. You desire to stay at FM, but you just don't seem to be able to. Well, here's the reason why. These strongholds of false reasoning. You go back and you reason through all these things. Well, I'm no good. I deserve these things. I'm not worthy to be loved. And on and on and on. The strongholds of false arguments must be destroyed. And only God's provision of God the Holy Spirit is going to destroy the strongholds that are in our soul, the strongholds of these false doctrines. And they have gained such control, but they can be destroyed. You're using the arguments. Here's what's beautiful. People use the arguments that come from these speculations in the Bible, the word of speculation, forgive us, that we've studied. You actually use the arguments that come out of this to keep you sad, to keep you stressed, anxiety, and depression, keep you from being who you are in Christ. These arguments and reflections, reasoning. Remember, that's what the word means, to think. Reasoning that challenges who you are in Christ. I'm really not that person. I've sinned, so I'm really not holy and acceptable before God. I'm a dirty rat. And this kind of thinking just keeps you from being who you are in Christ. Convince you that you're not who you are in Christ. People, these have to be torn down. Before we're going to be free of them, they have these strongholds inside of us. Have to be cut. We cannot whitewash this. They have to come down. It is not what happens to you in your life. not what happened to you when you were a child, raped, molested, abused. It's not what happened to us by parents, by life itself. It's how you interpret these things. You reflect on them, how you reflect on them, how you consider them, what's going on. That is going to determine how you're going to handle your life. Then they'll act their way out through our life for how you thought about it. It's all my fault. I'm no good. God doesn't love me. I'm not worthy to be loved. I deserve this. And that's what's going to be worked out in your life. That's Satan's lie. And they sound true. They sound true because we all have that flesh nature. And if we look at the flesh nature, they're true. We're no good. This is why pastors and other Christians use them against Christians, especially when Christians sin or fail. Keep you from becoming all that you are in Christ. Some of the biggest enemies to being who you are in Christ and becoming that after sin are other believers. These are these considerations, reflections, thoughts, arguments, wisdom, are the strongholds in your soul. You just have to be torn down. Got to get rid of them. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We have to allow His Spirit to demolish these arguments that keep us in stress, anxiety, and depression. That's where Satan wants to keep us. Now, let's go to the next phrase. And every lofty thing. First thing I want to do is talk about that word every. Don't speed read it. Don't set it aside. Christians speed read words like that. Christians don't think on words like that. And every lofty thing. Don't miss it. The Greek word here, all, any, every. And we're going to make up quite a list of these lofty things. And some of them are going to surprise you. One of these lofty things is false doctrine. Taken right out of the Bible, it's false. And boy, how it destroys. How it controls, and it's so hard to come out of. Every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Before I ever get to every lofty thing, I want to make a comment about the knowledge of God. The view of God. And I don't want you to think about this theologically. I know many Christians who experience stress, anxiety, and depression that can write a pretty good blue book. I don't know if they still use those in school, but we have blue book tests. Could write a good blue book on the theology of God. God is. And boy, they just can expound. But when it comes to experientially, they fall apart. I don't care about your theology of God. What is your view of God in your daily life? This is, to me, so vital. I propose to you that fundamentally to all stress, anxiety, and depression is your view of God. That at the heart, the foundation of stress and depression is our view of God. It's very difficult for people to realize when they're angry that they're angry at God. No, I'm not angry at God. I'm angry at my ex-wife. I'm angry at my ex-husband. I'm angry at my boss. I'm angry at the world. No. Fundamentally angry at God if you're a Christian because you know He's in charge of all things. You know that He controls all things. Movie, the Apostle, Robert Duvall, wrote, produced, and was the actor in it, is in the upper room, in the attic, really, in an attic room of the house, and he and God are having it out. And I love what he did. He said, God, I don't know if it's you or Satan that's playing with my mind and my church and my family, but ultimately it comes between you and me, God. And that's honesty. And that's where it's got to start. And this is what happened. So let's go to our view of God. What is the view of God? So when I say view, I'm not referring again to what you could write down about God in the Bible. I'm talking about your view of God in your daily life. Let me give you some example of what I'm talking about. Many Christians know, not all, but many Christians know theologically, that Job's three friends were wrong in judging Job the way they did. They know that. Those three friends judged Job. Bad things are happening to you, Job. That's because you've done some bad things. If you're good, God is good. If you're bad, God, there'll be bad things to you. And a lot of Christians know academically that's not true. They know Job's friends were wrong. But how many times in day in and day life, ourselves and with other people, just a little thing. Something happened. Well, I deserve that. I got mad on the freeway. Well, I deserve that. This happened. Well, you're just getting your comeuppance. And this is happening because I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, or I did this, and I did that. And so, in our mind, we just sort of play that little thing, I deserved it, and we don't really think about it too heavy. But we do it day in and day out, until it becomes a reality and it forces us in our soul, so that when things start really getting bad, well, I deserve this. It becomes who I am and the way I think about God. And so I just propose these lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. Is the knowledge that I'm talking about here is your everyday life. You're a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know you have eternal life. You know you've been eternally saved. You know, K-N-O-W, that God loves you. But things start happening, or keep on happening. You never seem to come out of it, out of the where you've been for so long in your life. Things just seem to be getting worse. You're not getting happy. The marriage isn't getting better. Finances are getting worse. And it's just going on. And you start what? Speculation. You start thinking about it. You start reflecting on it. You start considering it. And pretty soon you come to the point, God's angry with me. God's mad at me. God doesn't love me. And I'm not worthy to be loved by God. I'm a loser. What's God doing? How long is God going to keep it up? And many Christians at this time just keeps going. These speculations, these thoughts, these lofty things keep going. And pretty soon you begin to wonder. It may just be a fleeting thought. I don't even know if I'm saved. I may not even be saved. And you nourish it. You feed that thought. And you kind of doubt now whether I'm even saved. Whether I have eternal life. And why not? People, if you doubt God's love, if you doubt His love, maybe you're not even saved. And you just keep getting worse and worse. And the stress and depression really start taking their toll. You're hurt. And you're depressed. Oppressed in the soul. You start thinking, reflecting, calculating bad things that happen to you throughout your whole life and that are going on right now. Life just isn't worth living. This marriage is not worth it. The money problems, the husband, the wife, the parents, the single life, the hopes, the dreams, they're all gone. Why is all this happening? And the stress, the depression, and the hopelessness starts dying in. I'm going to tell you the bad part about this is so many pastor teachers teach this lie. It comes experientially from knowing God the way they teach about God. If I'm good, then God is good to me. That's a lofty thing raised up against the true knowledge of God, people. I'm just laying it flat for you. That very thought is a lofty thing raised above the true knowledge of God. If I'm good, God is good. If I'm bad, if I fail, I sin, then I do not deserve to be loved of God. I do not deserve to serve God. And preachers preach it. Fears of God. So Christians start experiencing these things right from the pulpit. I deserve to be punished. I deserve to be set aside. The word lofty thing, every lofty thing, the phrase lofty thing, is hoopsama, put it on the board, but serve no purpose. It's a Greek word. This is an understanding of our view. Let me tell you what the word means. It says every lofty thing. Now, what's a lofty thing? This is an understanding or view that is elevated to a height that is above the true knowledge of God. Now, just think about what you're writing down if you're writing. The word lofty thing in the text, hoopsama, is the Greek, and it refers to every understanding or thinking that is elevated to a height that is above the true knowledge of God. See, that's why it's called lofty. It's way up there. It's even above your view of God. This means to place an attitude, and we could say an attitude about God, attitude about what's going on in your life, above, to the highest understanding, to the highest level of your thought pattern. This dominates your thought pattern. Can you imagine placing something above who you are in Christ? But that's what we do. Can you imagine placing who you are in the flesh above who you are in Jesus Christ? First of all, the arrogant way. I am really good. I am really good at what I do, who I am, how I look. And that's above who you are in Christ. Can you imagine that? My accomplishments in the flesh are above. And people, you wouldn't say this. This is a thinking that is going on. This is a place that you have put it in the process of your thinking. Every lofty thing. It's a lofty thought that who I am in the flesh is above who I am in Christ. You wouldn't want it that way, but that's the way you live. That's the way you think. Let's just imagine. Can you imagine placing who you are in the flesh above who you are in Christ? Now we can go to the other end of that, though. I'm no good. I'm unworthy. I'm a loser. Placing that kind of thinking above who you are in Christ. See, I can take this either way. That who you are in the flesh is above, in the realm of thought process, who you are in Christ. Imagine doing that. Well, that is exactly what these fortifications will do in your thinking, in your mind. This is what a lofty thing will do. People, this is what Satan's lie will do. Satan's lie starts describing you, and that view is placed above who you really are in Jesus Christ. It's placed above it. I want you to think about this. Those that are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, when things are going on in your life, and they keep going on in your life, you start thinking. In the process of such thinking, you start putting your thoughts above who you are in Christ. I don't feel like, I don't think like who I am in Christ. And you don't mean to do this. I dare say no Christian would mean to be this, but in thinking. You would never place who you are in the flesh above who you are in Jesus Christ. You know better than that. But this is exactly what we do. This is exactly what you've done with these fortresses in the soul. And that's why you're going to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. We start lifting, and preachers call us to do it, Christian friends, people in the world, the flesh, the devil, Satan's lie. It just starts to where we're not even realizing it, but we have placed these thoughts of ourselves above who we are in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you're headed for great trouble. You're going to make decisions based on that. Let's talk about it from the arrogant side. I'm great. I'm strong. I've got money. I've got a success. I've got beauty. I've got attractiveness. I've got power. I've got control. That's who you are, but who you are in Christ. And you start making decisions from that level. Go to the stress, anxiety, and depression side. I'm no good. I'm unworthy. I'm a loser. And you start making decisions based on that. You've lifted it above who you are in Jesus Christ. It is just, and what's going to happen with all of this, with these forces, is just going to continue to get worse. And your thought process, and it does not seem to be anything that you can do about it. That's why people experience stress, anxiety, and depression, go to drugs and run and do all these things. There doesn't seem to be anything you can do about it. They're miserable inside, oppressed inside, hopeless inside. This is when you start hearing yourself, if you're experiencing this in truth, in reality, you'll hear such things as, how long, God? Why me, God? Please change my circumstances or just leave me alone. Take my life. Let me die. That's what Job prayed, and we've read that. Let me just out of here. Why? Why me? How long? Okay. Go back with me now, and let's just do you a favor tonight. Let's see how you got into this condition of stress, anxiety, and depression. Whether it's something you've been experiencing, you think, in your whole life, or something that's just come. How'd you get in this condition? How'd you get to where you are? Okay, let me give it to you. One, first you built the fortifications inside you that Paul is talking about here. First of all, you built these fortifications. No, nobody else built them. You did. Things happened to you when you were a child, nothing your fault, yet you have built these fortifications about it. You have built this thought process from Satan's lie. So you start building these fortifications inside of you. You built the speculations, the way that you're going to think about them, bad things, difficult things, start happening and keep on happening. Now, how you think from these fortifications, start in. How you think, in other words, the fortifications now, these strongholds, let's call them strongholds, these strongholds start acting. They start doing what they're designed to do. They start blocking your ability of moment-by-moment faith, FM. They start confirming that you are a loser, that you deserve all of these horrible things that are happening to you. There's nothing that you can do about it. You're damned in all of these things. And then third, soon you are actually exalting these thoughts above who you are in Christ. These things now, all of it you're starting to think about yourself, and the way that you think about yourself because of your performance, other people's opinion of you is low, and all of these things. And so what happens is you start exalting. You start exalting your thoughts about yourself that come from Satan's lie, that come from his strongholds, above who you are in Jesus Christ. You're actually above. Now, people, you can't even think the truth. You've now exalted these things above who you are in Jesus Christ. What you think about yourself in the flesh is now more real to you than who you are in Christ. What is going on in your soul, not in your life, what's going on in your soul about yourself is now more real, that thing lost it, is more real to you than who you are in Christ. And we've already seen our flesh nature, the five things about it, continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably wounded, insane, and full of evil. And so you start thinking that above who you are in Christ. Now what is all of this going to add up to? This is going to add up to, not 3, 4, 5, but it's going to add, this is going to add up to what? SAD, stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. Depressed about your relationship with God. Depressed about your relationship with yourself, your life. God, what have I done with my life? My life has just been terrible. And you just keep going on and on with this thing. And it gets so bad. Okay, but here's the good news for you. Here's the good news. It's the good news of the gospel. It's the same good news you've heard before, and it's the good news. You do not need for your circumstances to be changed to be free of this. It's not your circumstances. You do not need to be free from your husband, your wife, your financial problems, and on and on and on. Your past, things that have happened. You do not need to be free. You do not need for these things to change to be free. You do not need drugs. You do not have to live this way for the rest of your life either. You're not doomed to this either. You don't have to run away. Okay. First thing we want to do is to understand where stress, anxiety, and depression is coming from. Where's it coming from? Okay, let's take it real quick. First of all, the source of where it's coming from, the stress, anxiety, it's coming from your flesh nature. Coming from your flesh nature. Think about that. Stress, anxiety, and depression are coming from your flesh nature. Secondly, it is coming from living in Satan's lie. That your self-worth is made up of your performance plus others' opinion of you. Thirdly, they are coming from the strongholds in your soul. They're coming from the stronghold or the fortresses built in your soul by Satan's network, by your flesh. And then finally, four, they come from you establishing these above, more supreme than what God says about you. They are lofty. So here's the good news. The good news of the gospel for you is this. It's going to be a short take tonight for those of you that heard him, but it's a powerful take. Here's the good news. God has set you free. People go into the doctor and they've been suffering cancer, been suffering from something. God, good news. This is, we know what to do about this. We're gonna take care of the problem. But here's the good news. If you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, God has set you free. First, God created you a new and wonderful creature in Christ. God created you a new and wonderful creature in Christ, perfectly righteous, lovable, and worthy to be loved and worthy to serve. That's the first thing that God did. Second part of the good news, God has graciously given to you, inside of you, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit inside of you. Since the problem is inside of you, God says his power inside of you. The problem's not outside of you. The problem is inside of you. That's point one. That we said it earlier. But now, God's solution, first of all, created you a new creature in Christ, a wonderful creature, lovable, righteous, pure. Secondly, God gave you the Holy Spirit inside of you. And then third, if you will simply live moment by moment, and sometimes when you're really hurting, it is a moment, it is a 60-second by 60-second deal. By trusting in the Spirit, just trusting Him to do what He is sent to do, trusting in the Spirit to destroy these strongholds inside you. You cannot destroy these strongholds. You can't do it. But God the Holy Spirit can and will, if you'll trust Him to tear them down. This is why God gave them to you, gave the Spirit to you. This is what God will do. And as you, day by day, half a day, quarter of a day by day, put your faith in the Spirit, He begins to tear down these strongholds inside you. And as they come down, as they are removed, guess what? You are more and more able to think and believe who you are in Christ. I don't care what your husband's saying to you, what your wife is saying to you, what your parents, your children, the preacher, other Christians. I'm telling you facts. Gospel truth. As you put your faith in the Holy Spirit, day by day, moment by moment, He begins to tear down these fortresses, these strongholds, and as they start coming down, and I've tried to show you how they function to block faith, as they start coming down, now you are more and more able to think and believe who you are in Christ and start living who you are in Christ, regardless of everyone else, and you're free of stress, anxiety, and depression. You're no longer using Satan's lie to evaluate, and you're no longer listening to these people. You're no longer listening to the world. You are starting to trust the Spirit of the living God. And the wonderful part of all of this for you right now is you're free of stress and depression and anxiety. See, for me, the most wonderful part is you start living who you are in Christ, but I know where you are. And the most wonderful part for you is that you start being set free of stress and depression and start living who you are in Christ. Okay. Can this be done by faith alone? I know you've got to be thinking that. Can this be done by faith alone? That is just too simple. You're thinking that my problem is too deep. And just trusting God is not going to do it. It's not enough. It cannot be that simple. I have been raped as a child. I have been neglected. I have been abused. I have been hurt. You don't know how my husband just every day in and day out, how my wife, day in and day out, every day. You don't understand the hurts and of lost dreams and hopes and all of these things that go on and things that I've planned on. It cannot be that simple to get rid of stress and depression in my soul. My problem is just too deep. It's too complicated. Well, before you write this off, I have a question for you. How simple was it for God to take care of you when you were an unbeliever? How simple was it for God when you were under total depravity, an enemy of God, to solve that? Was it difficult? Was it too deep that simple faith would not solve it? What did you do to take care of that problem? You just trusted him. My. Wasn't your state as an unbeliever just too big, too bad? Look what you were, totally depraved. Look at it. You were incurably wounded and continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably wounded, insane and full of evil, and just by one act of faith, God solved it. Just by one act of faith. That's all that you did. Nothing more. Well, if that's all it took to take care of that problem, why can't you trust him now? By one act of faith on your part, God changed your eternal problem. But now, think about this. Just think about your thinking. That faith cannot do this. Just trusting the Spirit cannot do this. Think about what you're saying. Now that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, a child of God in Christ, beloved in Christ, eternal life, God cannot take care of your inner problems if you just trust him to do it. Think about what you're saying about God. The lofty thing above what? The knowledge of God. You have reached such a point in your stressed out and depressed life, you've impugned God. Just trusting God cannot be enough. You're wrong. It cannot be solved that simply. Yet your eternal position was solved that simply. Somehow you're going to have to do something to take care of stress, anxiety, and depression. You're going to have to change circumstances. Things have to happen. No. People, I'm here to tell you by the authority of Scripture, this is the gospel news to you. It's that simple. All you have to do is trust him. Please don't lift something up lofty above the knowledge of God. God can tear down and will tear down the fortresses in your soul that result in difficulty of faith and cause you not to want to trust him and cause you to have stress and depression in your life. It is simple. It's all you have to do is to trust him. It's that simple. Don't exalt any other thinking above the gospel truth about God. And then I encourage you, try him out. You believed in him for your eternal life? Give yourself 3-4 months. The 3-4 months of your life, I'm going to try him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to start believing who I am in Christ. I'm going to start trusting his Spirit, put on his fortress. I'm going to quit looking at things that he's lost his strongholds, speculations, Satan's lie, my circumstances. I'm going to forget my circumstances, and I'm going to trust him. And watch what starts happening in your soul first, and then in your life. And then stress and depression will have no control over you, and neither will anyone else. People, when you seek to get your self-worth from somebody else's opinion, they control you. Always remember that. All that a man or woman has to do is to know that the other person is depending on them for their self-worth, their opinion. They control you. They can make you feel wonderful, they can make you feel horrible, and they play both games with you. That's how rotten people are. That's not just how rotten your husband is, your wife is. That's how rotten people are. People, all people. We're going to do that in the flesh. We all have the used car mentality, salesman mentality. Nothing against used car salesmen. But we're no good in the flesh. And if people learn that they control your self-worth, boy, that gives them power. You're going to be set free of that. And you're going to be set free of Satan's lies. You're going to be set free of the fortress and the stronghold that's blocking faith in Christ. And then pretty soon, there's no cause of distress, anxiety, and depression. But you're going to end up with Job did in chapter 42, and people, he went through everything you're going through. We read some chapters and some statements by Job. He just wanted to die. It's all over. Let me die. Curse the day that I was born. Take it off the map, off the calendar. And what does he do at the end? He just says, I retract everything that I've said about you. You're God. I trust you. And when you can say that and mean it, people, all the circumstances of life can happen for bring you depression. You can be happy being a Lazarus begging at the rich man's door if you're free of Satan's lie and you're free of these things, and your worth has nothing to do by worldly standards. Nothing about what's going on in the world. It's who you are in Christ. And I'm telling you something from personal experience, it is a liberating state to be in. But nothing or no one controls you. Circumstances of life do not control you. You are free in Christ, indeed. Free of stress, anxiety, and depression. Let's close in a word of prayer. Pray, Heavenly Father, that whatever hands these tapes might accidentally get into, which of course is not accidental, that your Spirit will open their eyes to see what a magnificent God you are, what a loving, compassionate God you are. And now, Heavenly Father, they would just trust you, trust your Spirit, to tear down these strongholds in our souls, slowly, day by day, as we walk by faith in you. They will experience this freedom, this liberation from these fortresses, from Satan's lies, from preachers, from other Christians, from this lofty thinking, from stress and depression in their lives, to peace and joy, regardless of the circumstances. They will come to realize, Heavenly Father, what so few Christians realize, no matter what's going on, we can be content. We can still live who we are in Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this journey and these studies. Thank you for opening our eyes to daily things that happen and how they are not all that important. Who we are in Christ is who we really are. Praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.